You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
If the blood-thinning drug Xarelto has caused you serious bleeding problems, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns! Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Jarvicius, and the kid with us now in studio here on the second hour of CBD today. What's up, the kid?
Everything's good. I don't have a story like last time, but I will tell you one thing that annoyed me as I was driving in studio today. You ever see those stickers that say 26.2 or 13.1? You know, for someone that ran a marathon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why can't they just put a sticker in their window that says, I ran a bleeping marathon?
You like that better?
Yeah.
Why don't you make that? Why, you're an entrepreneur. Why don't you start selling those?
I don't know. It just was.
I have a question for you. Did anybody stop you on the way in for an autograph?
No. Again, I told them, this time I told them to look for Jarvicius on the way out.
They got Joe they on got the way in. I saw in. You.
Yeah. Well, I promised a lot for you, so you may want to sneak out the back door.
All right.
There's only two people out there.
The kid, nobody in America was more excited for Johnny Manziel's debut than you. What happened? What'd you see?
Well, let me just say this. It looked like Clark Kent went into the phone booth and Clark Kent came out of the phone booth and Superman stayed at home on Sunday. I was disappointed, and like everybody else, and I was taking notes during the game. I had this whole game notes section thought up for the show, and it just got too depressing after a while.
Just
I cannot
left it blank.
It pretty much was blank. There's two football games I've been more excited about this year than any. This game and the Michigan-Notre Dame game. Both games, the team I was rooting for, did not have one positive play the entire game. So, needless to say, Sunday afternoon was not a pleasant
time
for me.
61-0, I believe, are the cumulative score of those two football games that you most look forward to.
Basically. And I'm a football fan. Why?
Right?
I will say this, though, as being a positive man. I did take a look at some of Bridgewater and Bortles' stats, and Teddy had a game this year where he was 23 of 37 for 188 yards with three picks, no
touchdowns.
And
he started slow. He started slow this year.
He had another game, 15 of 26, 157 yards, two picks. Bortles had a game where he was 17 of 31, 159 yards, and three picks. 15 of 27, 146 yards and a pick. So, that being said, let's not jump off the bandwagon just yet. Let's see if he can turn it around these last couple games. I do pose a question to you guys. What happens if he, unfortunately, it doesn't get better? What do you do in the offseason?
I think in the offseason you would have to bring in another veteran, maybe a Mark Sanchez. If Philadelphia lets him go, you'd have to bring in another veteran, and you might throw another asset in the draft at it. The good news is, with the way that the salary cap structure for the rookie salaries have been done, it's okay to swing and miss at quarterback. Now, I don't think that that's going to be the case, but I think you would have an opportunity to then throw some more assets at that position. Because ultimately, you need that quarterback, I think, to be successful in the NFL.
Absolutely, but three games is not a very big sample size.
You need to see something. As I've said all along, I'm not expecting to see consistency, but I need to see some flashes of what the good can look like, and so far we haven't seen it.
I agree, and again, it'll be very difficult to hand the keys to him after these three football games. And for that reason, I think he's got to – and I think to motivate Johnny and to force Johnny to prepare – for next season's training camp, he needs to understand that he's in a competition, because it's human nature just to get comfortable when you've been given the keys to do less and just think that I can skate through offseason and walk in and then turn it on. And that's not the case, especially for him and the amount of time that he's played.
Nate Dogg, you are 100% correct, because if he goes for the next two games and does what he did last week, that's not a good position for the Cleveland Browns to be in, and they're going to have to do something, because you aren't going to give the keys to that guy, especially knowing what comes with the offseason with Johnny Manziel. If he's not going to be correcting the craft and he's going to be in Vegas and doing the party circuit, it's really, really hard to bank that this is the guy that's going to run your organization. So Johnny, like we talked about earlier in the show, has no choice but to prepare and play like a pro.
And I think it's tough because it is only three games, and he was the guy that I thought needed the biggest transition to the NFL. So he needed more time. And if you go back and look at Teddy, who I thought was the most pro ready, it took him a few games before he got very good. And now he's been playing at a very high level. But if you just evaluated Teddy Bridgewater on his first three games and then said, okay, that's it, yay or nay, I don't know that he would have graded out favorably either. But I think he did show some flashes, and that's all you need to see from Johnny. Some flashes that he reads the defense effectively, can win from the pocket, and those stats from earlier about how effective he's been when he actually gets it out quickly, I think are telling, and I think could be useful to him going forward, and hopefully we see more of that over these final three games.
That's a good
or final two games.
Those stats, again, that we talked about earlier, Nate, that's just the best learning tool. That's a great learning tool for him to look at right now, because that says it all right there. If you get the ball out of your hands, you can be Johnny Football. You hold it, it's detrimental to you, especially in this league where everybody's big, everybody's fast.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The field looks so small. And I remember in college, the field looked so big with him on it, and he was able to run around. But he ran out of real estate very, very quickly here on Sunday. There's no question about that. 216-578-0850 if you want to call your shot here for this game. Browns and, of course, the Carolina Panthers on Sunday in Charlotte. I think it's interesting. They've missed some pieces on defense. They went from being a dominant defense to one that struggled a little bit. The Browns good at tackle, but they're going to need to they're going to have to account for Charles Johnson on Sunday, and they're going to have to account for Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis, two very good playmaking linebackers.
Yeah, and having played for Ron Rivera and understanding the league, this Carolina Panthers football team is not going to, they're of course going to do it their way, but they're going to go out and they're going to watch and evaluate and everything that Cincinnati did, because it's very applicable being a 4-3 defense of them doing the same thing and attacking Johnny. And I think what Cincinnati did so well is they created angles, you know, that Johnny couldn't run out of, and they attacked the offensive line from a certain angle and using that wide nine technique to keep everything. They boxed in our offense, which is going to be very tough. And I know the one thing that I'm still highly critical of, and I think it was part of the detriment of Johnny Manziel's first appearance, is the scheming for Johnny that Kyle Shanahan created, and I thought the play calling was horrific and gave him no opportunity to succeed, and boxed Johnny in some cases in our offensive scheme. So that is something that I look for to change, and that way Johnny can have opportunities to prove his worth and make the plays like you know he can.
When you've got two linebackers too, like the guys we just talked about, one can cover, one guy flies around the field, that doesn't make it very easy for Johnny. You know, you've got a guy that flies around, makes tackles everywhere, jumps over people.
They're both very good in coverage too.
And one is, you know, yes, they're both good in coverage, but that makes it a little bit more difficult, man. So the work is cut out for you. The work is definitely cut out for him.
This also is not the steel curtain of the late 70s, though.
No.
Let's not get carried
away. No, they've struggled this year.
There's going to be some plays to be made, and let's face it.
But neither was Cincinnati.
Right, but there was a lot of plays that we left on the field. There was wide-open receivers that Johnny missed. There was receivers dropping passes. We left some plays on the field. The one play I remember where Johnny faded out to the right and hit, I forget who it was, but hit him right in the hands. Could have been a drive starter on third down.
Andrew Hawkins.
Drop pass.
Yes.
Yeah. No question. Let me ask you this. Playing for Ron Rivera, what are the staples of the Ron Rivera defense? What are they going to try to do to the Browns?
They're going to attack. They're going to rush the passer. Ron Rivera thrives on pressuring the passer. And I think in some cases, and as you heard Jim Zoke tell us, is they've gotten rid of their corners, and so they have new corners. They're relying on Roman Harper, you know, a 9-year veteran. They're not going to be in a lot of man, so we're going to see a lot of zone coverage versus Johnny Manziel. So what does that mean? That gives our wide receivers an opportunity to recognize those coverages, find those holes, and have Johnny Manziel hit them in stride in those zones to be able to develop yards after the catch. Secondly is a Ron Rivera defense funnels all the tackles to one player. I'm not discounting how great Luke Kuechly is, but he's in a great system, and having played for Ron Rivera both as a coordinator and as a position coach, his defenses want to funnel all the tackles to either a linebacker position or a safety position. And in this case, it's the middle linebacker position, Luke Kuechly, and he does make plays everywhere.
He's already got .151 on the season in terms of tackles, so yes, he's having a very, very solid day.
How overrated a stat is tackles in the NFL?
I think it's overrated, and I think we have with DeQuell Jackson. You know, you look at DeQuell, and you could talk about 100-plus tackles how many seasons in a row, and it's kind of similar to the conversation we had about Joe Thomas, blocking for a 1,000-yard rusher, blocking for a prolific passer. It's like your body of work gets mishmashed if you just tag a guy to tackles, but you make 150 tackles on a team that wins 5 football games every year.
It's overrated to a degree, but the other side of that whole thing, too, is that also when you have a guy that consistently does that, you know, you have a guy, especially at those numbers, you have a guy that's consistently staying healthy and he's consistently flying around the ball, and he's somebody that you can hang your hat on as a leader of a defense.
And also, too, can do so much more with other pieces around him. You know, a guy that makes a lot of tackles, you put the right pieces around him or the right pass rushers, a guy like Luke Kuechly flourishes.
Guy, and he has flourished in this Carolina offense. Defensive player of the year. He's been the defensive rookie of the year as well. Kyle Shanahan talked yesterday in his press conference about the bootleg being taken away by what Cincinnati was doing. They were taking the bootleg away. That's why many weren't called. What does he mean by that? And shouldn't that, though, help the ground game if that means somebody is not scraping down the backside of the line unblocked?
Yes, it does. And my best assumption was, and I watched the Kyle Shanahan press conference as well, and I understand where he's coming from in saying this. And it was one of those things where Kyle Shanahan knows, as we've seen it happened to Brian Hoyer many times, that when he comes on that naked and there's nobody, that if that end doesn't bite, you know, and comes right back up, that Brian Hoyer is going to have to deliver the ball early, or and Brian Hoyer is going to get hit on delivery as well, which is going to be, you know, an inaccurate pass. And that is something that he just didn't, I don't think he wanted to do consistently to Johnny Manziel, especially if Cincinnati was playing into that as one of their strengths, or every time we got into a certain formations or a certain down and distance, the Browns' tendency is to boot. Kyle Shanahan would do everything he could to avoid those types of hit happening to his rookie quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's what he did there. But it goes back to, that's why so much of this offense, I think, is predicated on the good ground game.
If you
run those stretch plays and they're working, then the guy's going
to
scrape down, and then all of a sudden the bootleg
gets
you open
flat.
And gets you in
he
space.
He can't take that step up field. He has to go immediately down off of Joe Thomas's hip, you know, instead of coming up the field that step and then reading on the run.
The one thing that I'd like to see Johnny do, if we're able to get outside there and do these types of things, that we might see Johnny at his best. You know, when you watch some of the highlights, again, we've talked about it with Brian, and, you know, there were some instances in the game last week where you have got to set your feet. When you're just throwing off back foot and hoping for a prayer, that stuff never turns out well.
There just never does. Very few guys in the NFL who can do that, and even they don't have as much success doing that as they would like to. Look at Jay Cutler. He's got the arm to do it, but it doesn't work out very well very often. A guy like Aaron Rodgers finds a way to get his feet set and throw on the run, but moving into his throw and doesn't lose any velocity. He's also the best quarterback in the NFL.
But he also got picked last week doing the same thing. It actually made me feel a little bit better to see the same thing happen to him as happened to Johnny. Running one way, throwing back across your body is a recipe for disaster,
yes,
even for the best quarterback in the league.
Yes, and the ball's got to be out on time in those situations, and it's got to be, you know, delivered accurately, and you've got to have space to do it. You can't thread the needle like that, and Johnny found that out. Got rid of it too late. The ball was in the air forever and had that interception there. When you look at this matchup, though, with Carolina specifically, their back end is not their strength. So maybe there is some credence to coming out, throwing it to loosen the defense early. But I'll ask you, we were all so excited. Josh Gordon was coming back. Everybody was so excited. But yet, through 4 games now, Josh Gordon has not made nearly the impact that anybody expected that he would make. And I thought in Atlanta, it's gotten worse basically every week. What have you seen? Are you disappointed with what you've gotten from him? And what have you seen from him out there?
Well, first of all, I've been singing the Josh Gordon song all season long and the Johnny Manziel song all season long. So maybe the problem is the guys I root for. But
just stop singing.
Could be.
Yeah. It's your singing. That's what it is.
But really, from a layman's turn, my view, and I'd be interested to hear what these guys have to say, it doesn't look like he's giving the effort. And maybe that's harsh to say, but just from me watching on TV, it's like he doesn't seem to give 110% like a Steve Smith or somebody that you could tell is going all out on every play. Is that fair or unfair?
It's fair at times to say that. And I think it was Josh's second. I think the Colts game, you know, some of the effort that he gave on certain routes wasn't to the standard, and actually didn't, for more so than anything, didn't coincide with what he said when he first came back in Atlanta, that I'm going to do whatever it takes, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go 100 miles an hour to make up for this, and I'm going to be the best, you know, wide receiver in the league and prove it in this short period of time. And it's been frustrating, and it really has. And to go back to an earlier caller that talked about, you know, Johnny letting it rip, if we truly are, you know, in most cases on life support when it comes to the playoffs. I wouldn't be opposed now to have Johnny rely on one guy. And in this case, if it's Josh Gordon, it's a big target for Johnny to have 16 targets and 10 receptions. You know, yes, there'll be diversity to have to get the ball to Hawk in the right situation and make, you know, on-time throws. But this is a situation where I think a quarterback can develop a rapport with his biggest weapon, and everybody's got one. It's Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, it's Julian Edelman, Tom Brady, where, and I think if we're playing for nothing, and I hate to say that because there's still an inkling of hope, this is where I'd love to see Johnny Manziel, like, literally put his arm on his shoulder and go, it's going to be me and you, dude, because this is the future, and I want to punch it to you every chance I get. And I'd love to see it happen with Josh Gordon.
There's no question that that would be fun to see, but the realistic or what's been put out there on the field, there's nothing that says Josh Gordon is a Jordy Nelson.
True.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
very
those
true.
Are the things, because every guy that you mentioned right there, from Steve Smith to Jordy and plenty of other receivers, they come to work every day,
yep.
And it shows in the game. Everything is full speed. There's no coming at it half-stepping. You are coming at their full speed. You're doing it. You're blocking. When you're not getting the ball, you're running your route. You're not taking it the lackadaisical approach because you know you're not getting the ball. So for me, it's a commitment thing. And, you know, if you look at his past and the things that have been detrimental to his career, both in college and in pros, I don't know if you can make that kind of investment, because – Being given second and third chances, don't you think that you would maybe want to show up and do things the right way? Because, listen, your name's out there now. People know what you can do, but if you're putting that out there on camera, you know, your career goes by really quick. I look at Braylon. Braylon was a great, you know, athletically, he was a freak. Strong, fast, quick, could jump out the building. But then if you don't put – I'm sorry, the Michigan thing here again. Sorry about
my
that.
My least favorite Michigan player
but,
of all
but,
time.
But, you know, but my but the point is, you've got to come to work. You've got to work on your craft. And you've got to go full speed. If you're going to make a mistake – and, Matt, you know this. Coaches would always tell, if you do make a mistake, just do it full speed.
Yep.
And I've seen a lot of not full speed out there. So that's what scares me.
Yeah, the Browns have – you think about the weapons that are there. It seems like this has the makings of a good offense, and they need to figure out a way to get the production out of Josh Gordon, the production out of Jordan Cameron, Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel. You've got the backs. You've got Johnny. The weapons are there. They've got to find a way to get it done this Sunday against Carolina. When we come back here, it'll be time for the Friday forecast here, brought to you by Selective Insurance. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Jervish, send a cut here on ESPN 850 WKNR.